Hey everybody, it's the Badge of Politic. I'm Scott Stearns.
Good evening, this is Paul Sickle. We're digesting the Nevada caucus, but I don't believe we've really talked about this since the New Hampshire primary, have we?
Correct, yeah. So the Nevada caucuses happened over the weekend, and Mr. Bernie Sanders came out on top, got 46.8% of the delegates.
Nevada is a warm state. Yeah. They must be feeling the burn.
Joe Biden came in second, 20.2% of the delegates. Pete Buttigieg, third, 14.3%. Bernie got 24 delegates. Joe got 9. Pete got 3, and the rest didn't place.
Yeah, they originally reported some popular votes, not delegate equivalents, and I believe it was a little closer. Bernie was more like closer to about a third of the vote, a little higher than that. Still in first place by a mile, but I still have a little bit of skepticism that Bernie truly has a majority of the Democratic Party behind him. Is he just an heir apparent? Is he going to be the nominee? Is that what you think, Scott?
It's looking like it right now. If things remain the same, that he will get enough support to at least have a plurality going into the convention. And at that point, it becomes very difficult for the party to go a different way because it becomes 1968 all over again.
Yeah.
The party gets divided. So how it works, listeners, for those not familiar with how the Democratic Convention is set up, each state right now, we hit primaries, caucuses, you get your pledged delegates, you earn them through these voting opportunities, through these primaries, through these caucuses. And so those delegates are pledged to those candidates when they go to the convention. And you have a first ballot, first round of voting, and those delegates are obligated to vote for their candidate. So a certain percentage goes to Pete, certain percentage goes to Joe, Bernie, etc. Now, if somebody doesn't get a majority of the delegates, which is 1991, right?
Right.
So if somebody doesn't get over that threshold on the first ballot, then those delegates are released, and you have the second ballot. Those delegates can shift, and you have the superdelegates, which used to be able to vote on the first ballot, but Bernie lobbied for changes this last go-around because the thought from their perspective was, well, they're consolidating around Hillary. Mm-hmm. We don't think they should be relevant, in, at least in the initial part of the process.
He doesn't have a majority of the
He's not projected. He's not projected right now to have.
He doesn't currently have just what's currently been voted on.
No, of course not. Well, there's what, 7 candidates that are still running.
His best contest, he got 46% of the delegates.
Nevada was his best showing so far.
Yeah, okay, that's his top. And granted, it's been getting a little bit better. He got 26, then he got, 27 in New Hampshire, and now he got 46. He may come in well short of the 1991 and still have plurality.
Well, we don't know. There's many steps from here to there.
Right.
My fear would be that it's the curse of the Miller Park All-Star Game of several years ago where the game ended in a tie. God help us if it
in
falls
Milwaukee,
the same way.
You can't have a winner.
However,
Milwaukee, that game happened in Milwaukee, whereas this game happens long before they get
there. Yeah, but the nominating happens here. So.
Yeah, no.
We just won't be able to have like a major event again if that happens.
I think you're going to see a lot of the Democrats start to drop out after Super Tuesday.
You would expect.
And you still have about 60% of the delegates, a little more, I think, left to be awarded at that point. If Bernie has, say, 40% of the delegates at that point, which is a little better than he has now, but he has 40% of the first 40%. That's 16%. That still leaves him 34% short, which means that a consolidation could definitely make it a race down the stretch. And I wouldn't be that surprised to see one of the Democrats be able, in a one-on-one, be able to actually beat him. I don't think that he's sustained the negative attacks yet that he's going
he's
to in the general.
It's starting to ramp up with some of the statements in the past and the interview with Anderson Cooper and his statements about Cuba and this.
Right.
And
you were saying, though, he's so Teflon. And here's the thing, though.
So
he's Teflon enough to be getting a third of the Democratic vote
in three states. He's got very hard support. Now, in terms of him not achieving a majority of the delegates by the convention, I think the only way his opposition makes a valid argument that the delegates should go a different way on the second ballot is if somebody else is close. If it's something where Bernie has 40 and then the rest is fractured and the closest in second is 25 to 30, it's a very difficult argument to make that you don't give it to the guy that earned the most of the field.
So you're saying if it's more than like maybe 5%.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we can argue about what the threshold is, but you risk, so you risk alienating a good chunk of voters. So at that point, what
people will start doing is they will start running polls of people who voted for Amy Klobuchar, right? And they're going to say, who do you want your votes to go to?
Mm-hmm.
Would you want Amy to ask her delegates to vote for Sanders? Or would you want her to ask her delegates to vote for Bloomberg or Biden or Buttigieg or Warren? I'm not saying Sanders can't win this thing, but I also think we shouldn't just be too worried about offending the Bernie voters, okay? I like Bernie Sanders, too, a lot, but I also think a man who just had a heart attack who has opinions that are clearly a little bit on the edge of American politics.
He's got two stents, just like Michael Bloomberg.
Right, as who was it that was saying they're all trying to get their two stents in? Yeah. That was David Axelrod said that.
Right.
You've got real weaknesses with almost all of these candidates.
But that's typical.
It is typical. And you know, we did win an election a few decades ago with Bill Clinton, who had clear weaknesses.
Yeah.
And when Obama ran 12 years ago, even he had some weaknesses. I mean, he looks like the Teflon Don now.
It was a one-on-one contest back then, though.
It was three candidates. You had Edwards, who we later found had some incredible weaknesses.
He dropped out after South Carolina.
Can you imagine, though, if we had had him, and then all the stuff that came out about him came out? When you look at it now in hindsight, it's probably best that we didn't nominate him
there. Well, obviously. I think that goes without saying. So we've got a debate tomorrow. There'll be seven candidates on stage because Mr. Tom Steyer gets to join the fray again. Mm-hmm. And then we have the South Carolina primary on Saturday. It looks like Jim Clyburn is going to endorse on Wednesday. All indications are that he will be endorsing Mr. Joe Biden.
Which makes sense because he wants Biden to get a win.
So if Biden ekes it out in South Carolina, Bernie probably comes in second. But then 3 days later, Super Tuesday, a lot is going to be known. The field is going to whittle down pretty quickly after that because some of these people are just not going to have the money to go forward because they're going to just be spending a shit ton of money in several states trying to get whatever TV time they can that Mike Bloomberg hasn't bought yet.
So my buddy Pete Buttigieg, who everybody likes to put down, he's still second in delegates. Frankly, he's in striking distance of like second place in a lot of these Super Tuesday states.
So we should lay out the delegate count. Bernie's ahead in delegates at 45 right now. Pete's in second at 25. Joe Biden in third with 15. Warren has 8, and Amy has 7.
He's a distant second, but Biden's a distant third.
Right.
So everybody says he's done.
Right now, all indications are that he has not been able to garner significant minority support, which is obviously something that everybody's keeping an eye on in terms of where African Americans are voting, where Latino voters are going. Bernie proved one thing in Nevada, and that is that he can garner a significant portion of the Latino vote. The African American vote at this point has tended to go to Joe Biden, although some of it has flowed over to Bloomberg. Bernie's starting to pick up more of it. So we don't know. If Pete can't pick up a significant portion of that vote, it's problematic for his campaign.
So if he can pick up a big enough fraction to be a strong third in South Carolina, and then he can go into Super Tuesday and eke out a couple surprise wins,
perhaps
a few seconds, and start to hold his own with African-American voters, what it happens?
Well, I like Pete a lot. I really do. And ideologically, I probably line up closer to Pete than probably pretty much every other candidate that's in this race. However, I have serious questions about whether or not he's the guy that can get it done. But we'll see. We'll know a lot more in a little bit over a week once Super Tuesday goes down.
Another man that goes by his first name says he'll get it done.
Mike.
What do you think about that?
This is going to be the interesting thing about Super Tuesday, I think. If Bloomberg really just falters and doesn't do well in most places, does he keep going, or does he see a need to maybe drop out and throw his weight behind the anti-Bernie candidate?
What if that's Elizabeth Warren?
It might be. We don't know.
Who's really mean to him.
Yeah, he may not have much incentive to do that, but it depends on who's left standing after Tuesday, honestly. If Bernie wins several states, especially if he wins in California and or Texas, that really jacks up his delegate count significantly, and it provides some incentives for the anti-Bernie vote to consolidate around somebody else.
I mean, they have to, no matter what.
Yeah.
Because even if
But resources are going to dry up.
Bernie's basically going to be the front runner after Super Tuesday, no matter what. Right. I mean,
Because of the way that the primaries work, where delegates are awarded proportionally.
Unless somehow he falls into a close second. Mm-hmm. I just think this thing is way more fluid than the pundits say.
Typically, at this point in the race, most candidates will have dropped out. You're usually mm-hmm. down to a few candidates.
Right.
Two, three, maybe four.
Right.
We have seven candidates right now that I believe that are actively running. You have Tom Steyer, right. the mixer, who's getting 3% in the polls or something like that in some cases. But a week from now,
that's the wild card. Is with early voting in a lot of these Super Tuesday right. states. There may be some stuff baked in the cake already for Bernie. That's one reason I would say that worse, he's going to be a very close second.
Well, and
he'll probably be fairly comfortably in the lead.
That's probably bad news for Bloomberg because a lot of people that are voting early probably did so after that last debate when he didn't do very well at all. So people that were voting in California and some of these other places, probably were, if they were interested or Bloomberg curious, probably saw that performance and were like,
early voting a different way. Tends to skew very late.
Yeah.
So I would actually say that Bloomberg's got one more shot at it tomorrow.
Yeah,
if he can come out as not a self-righteous prick.
This may be difficult for him, but I don't know.
I'm serious. If he can
apparently he's been practicing. He's been off the campaign trail. He's been rehearsing the debate.
Well, he knows that's his stage.
Yeah.
Right. If he can come across as not a self-righteous prick, he may have a real chance to do some damage to everybody's brand, including Bernie's brand.
We'll see.
He's also apparently in the background, he's trying to dig up every bit of dirt against Sanders right now.
Well, even for those that are supporters of Bernie, they should want the Oppo research to come out now.
Right. If your guy's good enough to beat Trump, he's got to be good enough to beat Bloomberg against an onslaught of fear-mongering.
Exactly.
If you can't win against a fear-mongering in a Democratic primary, and yes, Bloomberg might have been a Republican, but his positions are closer to the Democratic Party right now than they are to Trump. If it has to be Bloomberg, that's going to suck, but it'll still be a huge improvement.
Yeah. Well, I just need to remind Bernie Sanders voters of that if that comes to pass.
Well, and it may, and they're not going to like it. And on the other hand, it may be a Bernie ticket. And guess what? A lot of Bloomberg voters aren't going to like. Either way, we're doing a whole lot better than what we have today.
The thing that people need to keep in mind is that it's not typical for you to have the candidate in the general election that you're absolutely in love with. That's the exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who were really passionate about the Obama campaign and the Obama presidency, mm-hmm. that's a rarity. Most of the time.
You
have a primary and it's like maybe you find the candidate that you're really into and then they may not make it very far. And then you got to kind of figure out, okay, where do I land?
Right.
Where do I fit? And then you're just like, okay, that guy seems solid. Yeah, I'll vote for him.
I would argue if you're more on the Bloomberg right, a Bernie Sanders presidency will go far better than you are anticipating. If you're on the Bernie left, a Bloomberg presidency will go far better than you're anticipating. Either way, we're going to have basically the same country we know and want to love, and we'll have a chance to improve.
On that note,
forward, folks.